I'd like you to take your Bibles, if you have it on your phone, on your tablet, or your hardbound Bible with you. If you don't have a Bible with you, we have them in the back. Just slip up your hand high enough for somebody to see. We have a greeter or an usher who will get one for you. And I'd like you to turn to Galatians, the book of Galatians in the New Testament, chapter 3. The book of Galatians in the New Testament, chapter 3. And I'm going to ask you to keep one finger there. Galatians chapter 3. And I'm going to turn to another scripture before we get there. I'm going to read for you Romans chapter 12, verse 2. So keep a finger in Galatians chapter 3, and I'm going to read Romans 12, verse 2. Now, we're in a series on what we've called wrong way Galatians. The Apostle Paul has a father's heart toward these people he birthed in the Lord, and they were basically having their faith in Jesus attacked by what is a group of people known as the Judaizers. They were people that came through and followed up the Apostle Paul's teaching. The truth of the Word of God is we are saved by grace through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. How many know you can't earn your way to heaven? You can't do enough penance points. You can't earn enough brownie points to make yourself right with God. The only way to get right with God is through Jesus. He came and he went to the cross. He took your sins and mine on himself. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. He bore your punishment, your sicknesses, your sorrows, and your griefs. And the Bible says he rose again from the dead, and now we come preaching Christ and him crucified, and there's the message of salvation. Isn't that good news? We didn't have to do it. We can't do it. He's the one who did it. But the Galatians, through the Judaizers, began to throw overboard the truth that saved them. Because the Judaizers were basically Jewish people that said, you have to become a Jew before you can become a Christian. You have to keep all the law, all the Ten Commandments. You have to do it, or you will not be right with God. If you really want to be right with God, you got to keep all the law and commandments. How many of you understand we are not saved by doing good works? It's His good work that saves us. So this morning, I'm going to talk about from information to transformation. This region of Galatia is where this letter was written. The Galatians, the churches in the region of Galatia, were going and losing their faith that they had come to faith in Jesus because of a works orientation. And Paul said, that belief is like witchcraft. Oh, foolish Galatians, he says at the beginning of Galatians 3, who has bewitched you that you have overthrown, that you have thrown aside the truth that saved you for a mentality that you got to earn your own salvation because you'll never, ever accomplish it. Which means if you try to live by works and you never accomplish it, you are always going to be condemned. You're always going to feel separated from God. You're never going to feel right with Him. You're never going to feel forgiveness because you can't accomplish it on your own. Someone say amen or oh no. We do good works because we're saved, but not to get saved. We're saved by grace. We walk by grace. We live by grace. We have faith, the prophetic word said this morning. Faith by grace. But I want to read a scripture to you, Romans 12, verse 2, and then we'll spend the rest of our time, pretty much, in Galatians chapter 3. Romans 12, verse 2, reading from the New King James, and it's not up here on the screen. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transformation. The Greek word metamorpho. We understand the word metamorphosis. That word that indicates transformation that takes place from one subject into another being altogether. A caterpillar goes through metamorphosis and becomes a what? A beautiful butterfly. But if you cut that process short, that butterfly will die before it becomes everything it's intended to be. It's supposed to fly freely with a beauty in its wings, and God has created you and me to be just like Him. How many can testify that you're going through a bit of a transformation process? Anybody wake up this morning and make a mistake? Anybody sin between here and home? Anybody need Jesus like me? There's a transformation process. But He says, by the renewing of your mind, what you believe determines how you live. What you believe determines how you live. If I believe that I have to do all my good works, have all my ducks in a row in order to be right with God, I'm never going to get there. I'm going to live in condemnation. I'm going to live in shame. I'm going to live in sorrow. I'm going to live in anger or frustration. But if instead Paul teaches, the Scriptures teach, if I know I am saved by grace through faith because of what He's done, man, that weight of shackle of shame and condemnation, the weight of sin, the weight of judgment, it's off my shoulders, and I can come into the house of God and say, thank God I'm forgiven. I love Jesus. How about you? I can come into the house of God with a positive spirit, look at you and say, yeah, it's been a bummer of a week, but I'm so glad to come into the house of God. Hey, how are you doing? Good to see you, saint of God. Good to see you, fellow forgiven person. Turn to each other and say, forgiveness looks good on you. His grace looks good on you. But, you know, you can come to church for different reasons. Come get information. Hopefully, we throw a little bit of information into the message or into the morning that helps you learn something. Hopefully, you learn something and grow. But to stay there is not enough. So we also come to church to get inspiration. Man, I tell you what, I'm so glad I was here this morning. I'm inspired having been in worship with y'all. Three people agree. Well, I loved worship this morning. I'm glad to sing with y'all and rejoice with y'all, but inspiration itself isn't enough. Because what He wants to do as we stand before Him, this is a supernatural time. We're not just singing a few songs, singing a few words, playing a few instruments. There's a supernatural impartation of the presence of Jesus. And that word is impartation. He imparts something to your heart and to mine. And I leave here today being built up. I'm more refreshed than when I got here this morning in the presence of Jesus. So there's inspiration, but it's not enough. Because what I'm longing to do and what I believe He wants to do is transform us in His Spirit to be more like Jesus. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. All I want is to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I just want to be like Him. Now, I know you could turn to me this morning and say, that's what we want for you too, brother. But isn't that our journey? Thank you, Lynn. Listen, but we do want that for you. We do good works because we're saved, though, not to get saved. It's all about life transformation and being like Jesus. Number one, believing faith releases righteousness. Believing faith releases righteousness. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 3 together. Galatians chapter 3 together. In verses 5 and 6, we find these words. Reading from the New King James Bible. Therefore he, meaning God, who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Does God do miracles among you because you went back to the Old Testament to follow the law and the commandments, and you better make sure you're circumcised, and you better do all these things? Does God do miracles because you qualify as being great enough, or by the hearing of faith? How many know God's miracles are done because he's got grace on us all? He interposes himself. He moves supernaturally into our natural worlds to change our life, change our circumstance, move on our bodies, move in our hearts and lives, to change us by his grace, by his power, and it's a work of God. Someone say, thank God. Thank God. It's not a work of me, it's a work of he. That rhymed. I did that right there just by the spur of the moment. How'd you like what I did there? It's not because of me, it's because of him. He's good. Just as, verse 6, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, the story of Abraham is 400 some years prior to Moses and the law of Moses. And God drew Abraham out of his country, and he said, I want you to follow me to a new country, and I'm going to give you kids as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the shore. And Abraham, basically, bottom line, today's translation went, I'm just dumb enough to believe you, God. I just believe you. If you said it, then it's true. Come on, say that with me. If you said it, then it's true. Billions of dollars are spent all around this earth on all sorts of philosophies, on self-help, self-actualization, every kind of psychotic psychology, everything you can. And there is truth that psychology adds to our lives with understanding, etc. We're not anti-intellectual, anti-psychology. We're not all that. But I'm here to tell you that's not the answer. The answer to every person's issue in life is a transformed soul, a forgiven heart, a redeemed life, becoming a Christian and a follower of Jesus because he loves you that much. So if you said it, then it's true. Now, we follow the Lord in the scriptures as much as we can. We try to get as close to him as we possibly can. That's Sherry's favorite verse. If we err in understanding the Word of God, we want to err on the side of getting as close to Jesus as we possibly can. If we err, we don't want to err in the direction of, I want to get as far away from Jesus and see if I'm still okay. You follow what I'm saying? If you're walking down a road, a real tight road on a mountain, I don't know, how many have ever been to the Going to the Sun Highway in Montana? You know, you're in Glacier Park, right? Going to the Sun Highway was built in about 1852, and it's just about this wide. And I was up there with my kids, were little, and I had a Chevy 20 van. Anybody remember the Chevy vans? A big box van. The road's this wide, and the Chevy's that wide, you know? And the tour buses that were like 1935 tour buses come barreling down the other side and straight at you. And there's only like two places on the whole Going to the Sun Highway where you can go off the road and be okay. You follow what I'm saying here? It's a devastating tour. It's a devastating road. It is absolutely terrifying. My kids were little. It's a glorious view. My kids are all saying, Dad, look at that. Look at it. Oh, man, it's so cool. And I'm saying, you look at that. I'm driving. I'm sure glad this is an enjoyable time for you. And then down the bus comes, yeah, boom! And I'm going, oh, geez, we lived, thank God. There were only two places on that whole highway where you could drive your van off the road and be safe and not plummet down. The next day, somebody drove their car off that road just in one of those spots. Turned to my family and said, see, only two places. But it was terrifying. But so if the object of life is getting as close to Jesus as I can, then I want to hug the mountain, not the edge. Because if I hug the edge, it doesn't take much of a gust of wind to push me over the edge. I don't want to live my life getting as far away from Jesus as I can. I want to get as close to him as I can. Does that make sense? So God does his miracles by faith and by grace. What you believe determines how you live. It certainly determined how Abraham lived. He just believed God's word. Now, he messed up, tried to fulfill it himself, had to wait a long time for the word of the Lord to come about, but he believed. And God said, I mark that as righteousness. He believed me. Come on, say it. I believe God. Come on. I believe God. Everyone has their story. And everyone's story in this room is important. And every one of you, every one of us is to be respected, heard, listened to. We appreciate what you've been through and what life has been to you. Everyone has their story. But I'm asking you this morning, what is your message? Everyone has their story, but what is your message? Jesus. The message is Jesus. Romans 10, 13 through 17. You'll find most of it up there, I believe. Romans 10 through... Nope, up there. Okay. Turn to it in your Bible if you want. Romans 10, 13 through 17. I'm going to read it from the New King James, Romans 10, 13 through 17. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He says it, it's true, that's what he does. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they haven't heard? There's millions of people all around, thousands of people in our cities, on our cul-de-sacs, our streets, in our communities that haven't heard the good news of Jesus. How are they going to hear? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without a neighbor who's willing to share Jesus with them? You have your story. What's your message? How shall they preach unless they're sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Verse 17, and this is up here. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing, or the Bible says in another translation, the hearing ear comes by the word of God. Out of the passion. Faith then is birthed in a heart that responds to God's anointed utterance of the anointed one. Tell the good news! Bring the good news of Jesus to people. You have your story, but what's your message? The message is, Jesus has intersected in my story, forgiven me, redeemed me, given me new life, and I got that life to share with you because of what he's done. What is your message? Come on, say it with me. Jesus is the only Savior. Are you a bigot, Kevin? Nope. Love everybody. But this is the only God who ever died for you, who then rose again. The only one. And if you don't tell people, because nowadays everybody wants to position you, that you're a bigot if you share anything, and you're a bad person if you share anything. But if you never tell anybody in a loving way about the truth of Jesus, how can they ever have that good news where they get the weight off their shoulders? Jesus loves you, and he died for you, and he rose again for you. You go, well, you know, gee, Kevin, this is awfully simplistic this morning. Fine, I'm guilty. Let's rehearse the truth. Let's rehearse the truth. People can't be redeemed from the weight of sin until they surrender to Jesus. And he's right there, right now, with his hands outstretched to them, saying, come. The only Savior. We're living in a society where everything is full of anger and chaos and terrorism and stabbings and shootings and violence. You just heard this week, maybe you don't know the name, Ron Ely in the 1960s played Tarzan in a TV show for a couple of years. That man quit Hollywood decades ago, specifically for the purpose of being able to raise his family, love his wife, and be with his kids. His wife of 35 years, just the other day, was stabbed to death by their 30-year-old son, who was a quarterback, a star at Yale, a brilliant kid. Reports about him were brilliant, but he was their son. And Dad, Ron Ely, was there for every one of his games, and he coached all his teams, and this kid had everything going for him, but something flipped. He stabbed his mom to death. Four deputies came in and couldn't talk the kid down and shot him and killed him. Ron Ely's 81 years old, and now his wife of 35 years and his son are gone. I share that story because I'm here to tell you that you can do everything right. I don't know about his personal life, but I don't know too many who quit their entire careers to give it all into their family, and still life can go bad. I pray to God that you've given your life personally to Jesus Christ, because today when you leave and drive home, something might happen at your car. And what if it does happen and you die? Do you know where you will spend eternity? If you don't, or if you're unsure, today is the day to make sure and surrender to Jesus. He loves you so much. You don't have to go through life not knowing. He wants you to know. And then have the joy of the Lord as your strength and go give them away to others so they can know. Yeah. Everyone needs Jesus. Believing faith releases righteousness. I got one more point. I'm going to ask you to hang in there with me for the next 2 hours. Here we go. Believing faith releases miracles. Believing faith releases miracles. Jesus can do anything. Come on, I said, Jesus can do anything. I even got a crack in my voice. My voice is still changing. My voice says, Jesus can do anything. I want you to say it with me. Jesus can do anything. The Holy Spirit performs miracles by His grace. When you hear the Word of God and your heart responds, it doesn't change His power, but it more freely releases your spirit to receive. Please hear me. He can do anything. But when your heart springs up having heard the Word of God and something resonates inside you and you go, man, He's here to do this for me. Come on, you know what I mean. That boom, 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 boom. And you hear the Word of God and you're hearing it. And Jesus says, yoo-hoo, talking to you. Hopefully His voice is a lot more pleasant than that. But He says, I'm talking to you, and you know what it's like. And it doesn't change His power, but it means your heart's more open to receive. Now sometimes, please hear me, your faith rises first. You've had time of preparation at home, to prayer, to prepare, to read the Word, to pray. God, move this morning in my own life. I want to go give you away. Get ready, stay ready, and grow, Pastor Carl Barden used to always say. In other words, get ready in your time of preparation, and then you come and bring the presence of the Lord. You raise your hands and clap and sing, rejoice and encourage each other. And we're all a part of seeing God move in our lives. Sometimes your faith rises first. Sometimes your faith is stirred in response to the word that's preached. We're going to see a couple of examples. John 5, 8 and 9. Jesus comes along the pool of Siloam, I believe it is, and there's a group of people there. They're all laying by the side of the pool, and they're all sick, and they're all infirmed, and this man has been there for 38 years. 38 years, every day, waiting by the pool, and Jesus says, do you want to be healed? Gee, you'd think that'd be an obvious answer. Don't you? But sometimes we get comfortable and find our identity in our problem. Sometimes my identity is, I'm a victim. Praise God. We get redeemed. We understand there are victimizations that occur, and it's heartbreaking and it's sad, and we love you and care for you through it. But your identity doesn't have to be in the victimization that's occurred. Your identity is brand new in Jesus Christ. And He comes along and He says, sir, do you want to get out of where you've been for 38 years and have something new in your life. How many in this room want something new in your life from Jesus Christ? Oh God, I want to be transformed. I want the end of my day to be better than the beginning of my day, and the beginning's okay. But I want to keep changing. I want to know you better, hear you better, walk with you better, and see you better. So my answer, what's your answer? Say it with me. Yes. Let me ask it. Do you want to be healed? Come on. Do you want to be healed?
Yes.
Good. That's what our faith response is. Rise, take up your bed and walk. Immediately the man was made well, took his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. Invalid for 38 years. Anytime Jesus is present, and he's always present where two or more gather in his name, the Bible says. Anytime he's present. And he's there with you by yourself as well. Anytime Jesus is there, miracles can happen. I said, anytime Jesus is there, miracles can happen. Acts 14, verses 8 through 10. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. Never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up on your feet." And he leaped and he walked. Seeing that there was faith inside that was rising up. God can do something for me. Come on, say it with me. God can do something for me. And God wants to do something for me. He sees me. He knows me. He hears me. His heart is caring for me, the Bible says. And so he wants to do something for me. Jesus wants to do something for you today. This morning. Now, he's gracious. He's all powerful. He can do anything. But Jesus is a gentleman. And rarely does he push you or overwhelm you to force your response. So sometimes he might just give you a little more time to hold on to your problem if that's what you desire. Ouch. That's where the rubber hits the road, isn't it? If you come to church and you think to yourself, well, prove it, dude. Yeah, let's see it. Go ahead. I'll sit here and watch you do it for somebody else. Go ahead, prove it. I don't think God sees me. I don't think God knows me. The Lord might just allow you to sit in that. No, I love it when God overwhelms that. He comes right down and he shakes you up, wakes you up, and says, hey, it's me, I'm right here. But sometimes, soup's not ready until it boils a little more. I've had that in my life. I remember being at a healing service, where sitting next to somebody in the pew, and this guy started praying for people. He said, now we've had the preaching of the word. Now we're going to have people come forward and get prayer for healing. And he pulls this chair around, sets it right in front of him. And I'm sitting here and I was a young buck full of the Spirit of the Lord. Got saved, radically saved when I was 16. And I'm sitting here with a friend. And he says, now how many out there have problems with your back? And I turn to my friend. The Lord wanted me to commit myself. I turn to my friend and go, hey, that's been my problem. I'm having back problems. And the guy says, okay, I want you all to come here. And I'm going, not me. I'm not going forward. I don't want to. Hey, what do you mean, man? I ain't doing this. He says, I want you all to come forward because I'm going to pray for you. And the Lord, as much as I've ever heard his voice, said this to me. Well, you committed yourself to your friend, didn't you? You know, you can only argue with God so much. Hey, wait, not fair. He goes, you did it, dude. So I said, okay, I'll go forward. We're all sitting in a circle, or standing in a circle, and this preacher kneels down and tells this person, go ahead and sit back, all the way back in the chair, stick your legs out. And we could all see this person's leg was about that much shorter than the other one. He said, now the problem with your back is your leg is shorter than the other one. And Jesus is going to heal you right now. And right in front of my eyes, he took and just laid hands gently on this person's heels. And I watched, we all watched, this leg go and be healed. And I was in line second. So being full of faith, I sat down saying in my heart of hearts, you better not fail me now. You better come through, Jesus. And I put out my legs, and I had a shorter leg, and I felt my leg grow. And I haven't had problems like that to this day. And that was a long time. I don't even want to tell you how long ago that was. Listen, you can either sit there, you can say it's all for somebody else, or you can say, Lord, include me. Do it for me. I don't want you to lose your opportunity. Sometimes we finish these services and we say, you know, if you want to respond to the Lord, you can come down. Rarely does anybody come down. I know a man of God, a friend of mine that I love very much, who walked this aisles and came down with tears rolling down his face saying, I need to surrender again to Jesus. And Bob's been here every Sunday. He can be here since then. And God's done a marvelous thing in his life. Are you willing to get out of the boat if you need Jesus to do something for you? Or is it too comfortable sitting in your chair most of the time? And I'm not trying to produce an ouch experience, but it's real for all of us. Most of the time we sit there wrestling with our pride. I don't want anybody to see me go down for it. What if God doesn't know? We got lots of objections. But we all have a great big God. Believing faith releases miracles. We all say, Lord Jesus, I want to move from information to transformation. We all agree Jesus can do anything. But do we agree today that Jesus can do anything for me, for you? Number three, being of faith. Being of faith, Galatians 3, 7 through 9. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, seeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. Now there's a truth from God, but watch. All the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. You can have this generic calling, God so loved the world, and it's true. But there are those who will respond to his love. And he says, come. If you want your life to be transformed, the time is now. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. But Jesus wants to do something for you. Now, I don't know this morning if your need is you need a financial miracle, you need to get saved, you need to get filled with the Spirit, you need his healing power, you need to come, maybe you're involved in activity that nobody knows a thing about, you know it's sin. You need to repent of it and receive his forgiveness. You need to respond to move from information to transformation. Let's move from information to transformation. I'd like you all to stand with me if you would please. He's here this morning. You all know that. We know that. He's good. He's great. What a great God. Now we've had a blast in the house of the Lord this morning. And you can go and you can leave this place and you can say, had a blast. Let's do that again. Or you can go and say, had a blast, ain't never going back there. Let's not go that way. Or you can say, had a blast, and it's my turn, because he wants to do something for me. And I'm going to pray, and I don't care who's watching, who's looking. I don't care if you got a roast that burns. That's your fault. Set a later time. Unless I'm coming over with you, then maybe, no. No, what I care about is you taking time. Take time for Jesus this morning. He took time for you. Now, if you're here this morning and the Lord's not speaking anything to your heart, no problem, no condemnation. If you go, we thank you for coming. It's been a great time. We invite you back at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning to Grace Gathering, etc. But don't miss the day of your visitation. While I pray, musicians, if you'll come, while I pray, I'd like you to come. No matter the need, our God is great. Father, now I pray for your precious people. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that those who want to have a life-changing encounter with you will come. Father, those who need time, those who need a fresh deposit of grace in their life, and musicians, if that includes you, that's fine. You can leave your post and come right around to the front of the podium. Lord, we pray the power of the Holy Spirit will move. Now, Lord, there are people in this room who need you. And the way to give your life to Jesus is to acknowledge that you're a sinner and that he's the Savior. Ask him to come into your heart to save you and be your Lord and Savior. And he will do just that. Surrender your life to him. But for the rest, I'm asking him, I'm going to give another couple of minutes. If you want to meet Jesus in a fresh way, this is your opportunity. You come. Lord, we give it all to you. Would you go ahead and play the key of E, please? That last song, To Be Like Jesus. And I'm just going to wait right here. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your Holy Spirit, for your grace and for your mercy. Thank you that you're the God who does all things well. Thank you, Lord, that you're here to meet with your people and that this day is a day of divine transaction, divine encounter, a time where you can do more than what we ask or think because you see the needs. You see what's really going on inside, Lord. You see where we're phony, and we repent of that. You see where we're hypocrites, we repent of that. You see the fears, we repent of fear. Come on, church, just say amen with me. We repent of fears. We repent of not allowing faith to stir up within us. Lord, we repent of letting our opportunities pass us by. We repent of that. Lord, from this moment on, October 2019. We thank you, Lord, that this is a life-transforming day. We put our trust in you, Lord. Indeed, this day, we move from information to transformation. Pastor Sherry, will you join me here? Would you get the oil, please? Thank you, Lord. Now, those of you who have not come forward, I'd like you to just stretch out your hands toward those who have. We impart the presence of God, and if you want to come while we're praying for others, that's fine. You come. We're going to take time to pray and see and allow the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you for this man of God. I thank you, Lord, Bill Fuller as our friend. And Lord, we stand against every weakened condition. And Lord, all of the things that have taken place in his heart and in his body, we stand against every fear. Lord, we rebuke that and pray the power of Jesus, the power of the Lamb of God, the resurrected Christ upon Bill, right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, the mind transformed, a brand new day. Lord, every confusing thought blown away in the name of Jesus. The power of the Holy Spirit. The blood of Jesus. I just see the blood of Jesus over you, Bill, like a banner. Like a banner. The blood of Jesus. The devil gives you any bad time, you just say, I got a banner over me. Jesus' blood is over me and on me. In me and through me. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Those of you who need prayer, would you just slip up your hand if it's prayer for healing? Prayer for healing. If you'll come forward, those of you who need prayer for healing, we'll pray for you next. We're going to anoint you with oil. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Michael, was that you? Thank you, Lord. We pray the power of the Holy Ghost. Charlie? Thank you, Lord. Jim? Okay, buddy. All right. And Gail, is that you? And Cindy? See, God cares, doesn't he, huh? Michael, is that you? Do you need prayer for healing, buddy? Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. Mark, it's all right. I appreciate your hungry hearts. Is that you too, Stephen? And Stephen, is that you? Do you need prayer for healing, you guys? All right. Who else? Anybody else pray for healing? Uh-huh. I know you, lovely lady. All right. Praise God, Marilyn. All right, Laura, is that you? You're here for healing? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Arliss, is that you? All right. We just don't want to miss anybody. God is so good. God is so good. Pat, is that you? All right. Gonna greet Vern as with all healed, huh? All healed, Pat. All right. Anybody else that I've missed in terms of prayer for healing? All right. All right. Oh, Lord, this is the day you have made, and we do rejoice, and we are glad in it. Stay with us, Paula, right here. Father, we thank you. Go ahead and reach out. Take each other's hands or put your hands on each other's shoulders. The impartation of the presence of God right now. Lord, we stand against every affliction, every afflicting spirit. Be gone now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you asked that man, do you want to be healed? We all say, yes, Lord, we want to be healed now in the name of Jesus. And we receive, come on, just raise your hands, guys. We receive your healing power, Lord. Thank you that within us, oh God, burns the heart of Jesus. Within us, Lord, we just see our hands raised up to take your hands. And we receive your healing power now. Lord, I believe that today's different than every other day. We receive your miracle, your health, your healing, your wholeness. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power. Oh, Rabasimo Koradati. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're the God who does all things well. Cancers, be gone in Jesus' name. Tremors, be gone in the name of Jesus. Tremors, be gone in the name of Jesus. And we loose the Spirit of Jesus for health, wholeness, strength. We rebuke every demonic attack. And Lord, we thank you that you are the God who heals. We trust you for it, Lord. We trust you for it. Now, maybe there's been times in the past where you've responded in something like this and you leave, you feel better for a while, and then it seems to come back. I want you to just stand on Jesus and what he's done. There's no shame, no condemnation to issues that arise again, but I believe God has called us together today for a transforming day in the presence of Jesus. So we stand together in faith. You know, sometimes we look at each other and go, man, I just can't come up with all this faith. Hey, look around you. You got a whole bunch of people walking with you to help carry you in this faith. Lord, we trust you. We believe you. We receive you in Jesus' name. Now, there are others who came forward this morning. We want to make sure to take time. Jerry, did you have something? No? Okay. There are others who have come forward that want prayer, and let's let them come forward, and we'll be, and you can stay around and pray with us, and let's come on over here.
I just would like my faith enlarged. You know, just unbelief and doubts.
Just stay in an attitude of prayer, y'all. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Father, she's your child. She's your daughter.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's it. That's it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You're my daddy.
Thank you, Lord.
Get the hell out of here. Yes.
The Lord just really loves you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who else? Anyone else who still has a need or a prayer in their hearts? Come on over, Bob. Amen. Yeah. We got you, buddy.
Of course. Thank you.
Of course. I know what that's for.
We got you. It's on your heart, Bob.
You know, I just want to pray for healing of mind, memories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God, come on, say it with me. I have the mind of Christ.
I have the mind of Christ.
And I'm washed clean by the blood of Jesus. Past is gone. The present is great. The future is glorious. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. Thank you for this man of God. Lord, here's a guy who's hungry for you. Life may take us aside. All the roads might get weird. But Lord, you still got your hands on us. We love this man of God, Lord, and not half as much as you do. Bless him as he goes from this place today with quickened faith, ears to hear, eyes to see, mind that responds to you more than ever before. Let him know the stake has been driven into October 20, 2019. From this moment on, I'm changed.
Amen.
We believe you for it, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Love you, buddy. Yeah. Stand with you, man. Who else? Anybody else? Okay. Now here's a precious sister who's responded to the Lord about an issue I imagine many of us in this room can respond to. If you don't mind my sharing, she's come here for prayer today to be more bold to share Jesus with people. Now I'd like an honest show of hands. Who in this room needs more boldness to share Jesus with people? All right, with your hands raised up, Lord, we all know. You've filled us with the Spirit of God and you've made us bold. Bold in the name of Jesus, because the boldness is Jesus. You've filled us to overflowing with your Spirit. And we stand against every bit of intimidation the enemy can bring. We curse that now in Jesus' name. And we are overwhelmed with the heart of Jesus who cares compassionately for people who need you, Lord. And we go in the boldness of the Lord in Jesus' name. We know our lives are transformed today in the name of Jesus. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, help us each.
Here, just.
Help us each to be able to share our story and
our
then deliver the message.
Yeah, that's it.
Good news of the gospel of Jesus to those that we're telling our stories to. Let us be bold. Empower us with the power of the Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus. Let us draw on that, Lord, as we're speaking to those that you want to come to you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes. All right, sweetie. Can you share what's in your heart?
We just want to walk more with Him.
Yeah.
Be closer to God.
Oh, yeah. Father, this is a beautiful couple. We thank you for this precious couple that belongs to you. But now, tonight, today, they're here to say we want to be transformed more than ever before. As they come here in this place today to rededicate their lives to Jesus, Lord, I pray they go from this place knowing you have not only heard their prayer, you have transformed their lives.
Yes.
Oh God, you are the God who's faithful, who hears and who does. Just follow me in prayer. And I'm going to encourage, if you're there this morning, if you're out there and you've not come forward, and you know you need to give your life to Jesus, I'm asking you, the Lord commands and encourages you to come. But if you don't come, I want you to pray right where you are and let us know afterwards. But just follow me in prayer. We know you love the Lord, but I'm going to just lead you in prayer. Lord Jesus, we come to you now.
Lord Jesus, we come to you now.
And by faith we surrender.
And by faith we surrender.
Every part of our lives.
Every part of our lives.
All that we are.
All that we are.
All that we aren't.
All that we aren't.
All that we do.
All that we do.
All that we don't do.
All that we don't do.
Forgive us of our sins. Wash us clean by your blood. And Lord Jesus, today, we receive you fully in a fresh way as our Lord and Savior. We invite you and welcome you on the throne of our hearts. In Jesus' name, we now receive you, Lord. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We love you guys. Amen. Well, God is so good. If you're here this morning and the Lord has spoken to you something else that you want to talk about or come up and see us afterwards, we invite you to do so. He loves you. I want you to turn to each other one more time. Just say it again. Jesus loves you. We thank you for coming, and we're going to celebrate the rest of the morning and stay for fellowship if you like. We'll remain up here to pray for you as well. And then other than that, we're going to jet to the door and see how many we can shake hands on the way out. We love you guys. We want to thank you for being here. Jesus is so good. Today is not an accident. Today is a life transformation day. Amen. Be released in the presence of the Lord. Amen.